Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bronx Nation Podcast. We're joined by a very special guest who, as you'll see, is wearing Penrith colors, but he's a very, very special guest. He's one of the owners of one of our primary sponsors, Energy Pro. His name is Trent. First of all, thank you very much for joining us. And to save us doing like a sponsorship promo this episode, because obviously we've got you on, let's get you to talk about Energy Pro. So first of all, what is Energy Pro?
Yeah, thanks CJ and Dylan for having me on. Yeah, essentially, guys, just a protein water. I know I've got one in my hand, and so do you, CJ. The ones we're having now, they are protein loaded, so 25 grams of whey protein isolate. Essentially, mixed with water as opposed to milk.
Yeah.
So very different to the other protein drinks on the market. Not going to give you that lactose effect or I guess that bloating. You know, everything's all natural colors and flavors. However, we do have two other flavors that are caffeine boosted, so those need a little bit of a extra kick or pick me up or pre-workout, a little bit of a buzz in the morning or arvo or to go to bed for some people. Yeah, it's the product for you.
Yeah, Ripper. And Dylan, we were just talking off record with Trent about, you know, the effects it has on our bodies, you know, playing sport, and you play Oztag yourself. How do you find it helps you when you're playing Oztag?
Yeah, quite a lot. It gives me that kick. Like, as I said last week, I feel like running a marathon. That's how good they are. And the one thing that I really like about them compared to other energy drinks is they don't really give you that like fast heart rate, sort of heart palpitation thing. It's just, yeah, natural caffeine from green tea. So, yeah, I really like them.
Yeah, Ripper. And what's your favorite flavor so far that you've tried that we've been provided so graciously by Trent and the team at Energy Pro?
Definitely the blue one. I think it's Arctic Rush.
Yeah, Arctic Rush. Definitely the best flavor that I've tried.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely the blue one.
What about you, Trent? What's your favorite flavor?
Mate, honestly, I was just talking to my business partner this morning and we were chatting about how Superberry is our new go-to.
Yeah, we haven't received Superberry yet, so hopefully we get that in our next batch because I'd love to try that flavor.
And you will be getting that in your next batch. We're sending that to you this week.
So, oh, Ripper!
Yeah, because of Easter, you'll get another few goodies. A bit of merch coming as well. T-shirts, duffel bags. Yeah, there's a few bits and pieces in the pipeline. So stay tuned.
Oh, Ripper. And also anyone who is listening to this episode and you want to give Energy Pro a try, first of all, check out your local IGA or Foodworks and those sort of places or your local servos. If they don't have them, pester them to get it in. And if they don't have them, you can always go to the website, energypro.com.au, E-N-R-G Pro, not the normal word energy, and use our code BN10 at checkout for 10% off your order. Rightio, guys, let's get stuck into it. Obviously, as you guys will see, he's wearing a Penrith jersey because he is a Penrith tragic from the Cogra area. You know, make that make sense, but you know, make of that what you will. So this week, round two recap, brought to you by Energy Pro, is against the Rabbitohs. The Broncos Rabbitohs game just gone. Dill, mate, what do you make of that game? First of all, my opinion is we needed that win, obviously. Every team that lost in round one or Vegas needed a win in round two, and the Broncos managed to. It was 10 points here and there. It was fluctuating. I'm just so glad the Broncos held on. And we got the 2 points in the end at Suncorp. What are your thoughts still?
Yeah, I think that, like, overall, I think it was a pretty scrappy game, to be honest. It was just, the 2 points is great at the end of the day. But, yeah, a lot of room for improvement. Reece Walsh, I think it's safe to say, if Reece Walsh didn't play, we don't win the game.
Oh, I agree.
He had such an impact on that game. And, yeah, no, I think it was good. We're going to miss Reynolds next week or tomorrow. That's for sure.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that one. And Trent, while you're here, obviously we'll talk about the Penrith Eels game that happened last weekend. What are your thoughts as a Penrith fan on how that game went? They almost had it lost.
Yeah, look, from being at the game myself, it looked like we won by a lot more, or at least it felt like that. I did feel a little bit sorry for the Eels losing Simonson early and having to shift their back line around a little bit. I think we gave their left side defense a bath for most of the game. Targo looked like the best player in the NRL. But, yeah, look, again, take the 2 points, having lost in Melbourne the week before.
Yep.
And yeah, looking forward to playing the Bronx tomorrow night.
That's fair. And obviously that helps us seamlessly transition into our round three preview of Broncos against the Panthers at BlueBet Stadium, the 2023 grand final rematch. Now, obviously last year, the Broncos lost in sensational fashion to the Panthers in the grand final, but in the home and away season, they went one each. Broncos beat them at BlueBet and Penrith beat them at Suncorp. Maybe we could see a repeat of that this year. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Broncos get the win this week. But before we get stuck into our predictions and whatnot, I'll go through the team lists. Obviously, anyone who's listening, it is currently Wednesday. So at time of recording, this is the current announced team lists. So for the Panthers, at fullback, obviously, you've got Dylan Edwards. On the wings, you've got Sunia Taruva and Brian To'o. In the centers, Isaac Tonga and Taylan May. In the halves, you've got, obviously, Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary. In the forwards, in the props, you've got Moses Leota and Lindsay Smith. Hooking it up is Mitch Kenny. In the second row, Scott Sorensen and Liam Martin. And locking it out is Isaiah Yeo. Interchanges, Dane Laurie, Matt Eisenhuth, Liam Henry and Luke Garner. With the reserve 18th man is Sonny Luke. For the Broncos fullback, we've got Reece Walsh, of course. On the wings, Jesse Arthurs and Dean Mariner. In the centers, we've got Katoni Staggs, Selwyn Cobbo. In the halves, Ezra Mam and Jock Madden comes in to replace an injured Adam Reynolds. In the forward line, we've got Corey Jensen and Payne Haas in the props. With the hooker, Billy Walters. Second row is Brendan Piakura and Jordan Rickey. And the captain for the week and lock is Paddy Carrigan. Interchange, Tyson Smoothie, Fletcher Baker, Kobe Hetherington, and Martin Tapau. With the reserve, 18th man, Xavier Willison. Rightio, guys, on paper, both of these teams can do some real damage, regardless, in my opinion. It's genuinely going to be one in the middle, as cliche as that sounds, it's going to be one in the middle. I'll cross over to Trent first because it's a home game for Penrith. What do you think Penrith need to do to get over the line to get this win on Thursday night?
Yeah, look, we don't have James Fisher-Harris, obviously a big loss for us there. However, look, this might sound a little arrogant, and Broncos are in a similar boat, to be honest, but it's just that next man up mentality, obviously, with the catchment areas of both Penrith and Broncos. Like, we got more depth than the, you know, Mariana Trench.
Yeah. Yep.
It's you know, incredible, you know, the amount of young players that we both have coming through the ranks. I mean, Xavier Willison was impressive in preseason.
I'm pissed he didn't get a starting spot in the interchange this week instead of Martin.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to have a few fans pretty divided. I know a lot of my mates were sort of hinting that Martin Tapau might not get a crack this week, but who knows? There might be some late changes.
Very true.
I think the key is it's at Penrith. Yeah. Obviously, Reynolds is out, which is a massive loss, which I know we'll talk about a bit later. But the last four seasons at home, our record is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I think
you've only dropped like four games or five games in those years at BlueBet, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and I read a stat that the Broncos have beaten Penrith once in 15 years at our home ground.
Oh, at home ground. I'm like, not in all games, but yeah, at Blue Bet. That sounds about right. That would have been last year.
Yeah, yeah. So, what was that, round one?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
round one last year. So, yeah, and I saw an article that the Broncos aren't allowed to talk about the grand final loss either. So, yeah, I don't know how the press conferences are going to work if that's the case. We know the media likes to poke the bear.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Dylan, mate, what do you think the Broncos need to do to, you know, next man up, get the win against the, you know, the scum of the West, Penrith?
Yeah, pretty much what Trent said. That next man up mentality, you know, we need our, just a special mention to our wingers. They've been superb in our opening two games. Jesse Arthurs and Dean Mariner, taking them early hit ups inside our own half under pressure. They've just been getting us out of pressure.
Very similar to Wendell and Lottie early 2000s vibes is what they're given the last few rounds.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, a lot of that. And I'm not sure. Payne Huss is in still a bit of doubt. I think, yeah, we need to go forward through the middle. I'm going to say right now, Moses Leota, he's probably the best prop forward in the game right now, in my opinion.
Yep.
Most athletic anyway. And, yeah, minimising his impact is huge. With Jock Madden, I think that our goal should be to just play straight
yep.
and then go wide, and that might that might sort of unlock Walsh a bit more to do what he does best. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough game nonetheless.
I definitely agree. I'm not tipping Broncos 13 plus or anything like I would have, you know, in other weeks. Pardon me. My tip is obviously Broncos. And I reckon honestly, four or less in this game will be the margin. Trent, who are you tipping? And obviously margin if you've got one.
Yeah, look, I think Penrith at home, you know, should on paper, you know, and to probably most be too strong, but you never know. Like, both attacks have been super clunky to start the season and sort of relied on that individual brilliance. I think Cobbo's going to be a massive key for you guys as well. He was unreal last week. Carrigan over 200 metres. He's probably going to have to do that again with Haas, you know, carrying that injury. But, yeah, like Dylan alluded to, Mosley-Oda has been unbelievable. I think it'll be a close game.
Yep.
I'm going to go Penrith by 8.
Okay, yep. And what about yourself, Dil?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. I think Broncos can win.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Penrith, I don't know. Fisher-Harris being out, it's going to be tough. They're going to miss him a bit, but I don't know. Like, tipping with my head, I have to say Penrith.
Okay.
And I did tip Penrith last year in round one. I did tip Penrith last year in round one, and it had the reverse effect, so I'm hoping for the same.
Well, fingers crossed then. Tip with the head and hope with the heart.
Yes.
Fair enough. Obviously, as we mentioned just before in the team list lineup, Adam Reynolds is out and Jock Madden comes in to replace that. Now, Jock Madden had a pretty good preseason. Obviously, preseason doesn't really account to much when it comes to the actual season. He had a pretty good preseason. How do you think, you know, Jock Madden will do for the Broncos this week, Dylan?
Yeah, we're going to miss Adam Reynolds' kicking game. That's the big one.
Yep.
As I said earlier, he should play straighten up in attack and go wide, hit Walsh out wide, and that sort of unlocks him a bit more. So
that's fair enough. Yeah, and I think, do you reckon kicking game in the sense of conversions? Do you reckon Reece Walsh takes over those duties for the game? Because he's got a mean conversion kick on him, I reckon.
He will, but I think that you'll find that Billy Walters, our dummy half, is going to kick a lot more and can find
play
a few more 40-20s.
Yeah, I reckon we could see maybe two out of him. Unfortunately, obviously, for Trent, he doesn't have to worry about that because he's got the starting halves no matter what this weekend, even though Luai should have been suspended for either tripping or striking the head. Regardless, he deserved it. And you can't convince me that Penrith aren't a protected species. But this is not a bash at Penrith. This is a topic. And speaking of referees and all that sort of stuff, Jerome Hughes has been suspended for pushing a referee. Now, in my opinion, in that footage, at normal speed, what the fuck is he supposed to do? The ref was genuinely in the way. What was he supposed to do? I'll cross over to Trent for that. What are your thoughts on that debacle?
Yeah, look, I watched the game live and looking at the replays as well.
There was no malice in that.
There wasn't malice, I guess, from my perspective. I think, what does he do in that situation? He has one choice: move the ref out of the way and try and stop a try.
Or let the try in.
So does then it go to the video ref and the ref's obstructing the play and it's a penalty? Like, it doesn't. So no,
it doesn't. Exactly. That's
Is it replay the ball? I don't know if the NRL, like, do you guys know the rules in that situation?
I don't know, but what I can do is I can retrospectively edit and put some words in here. I can contact my referee friends, as in friends, contacts, whatever you want to call them, and get what the actual ruling is on that, because maybe they're like, you know what, the ref was in the wrong, or the ref wasn't in the wrong sort of
Look,
thing.
Look, I think being suspended is extreme.
I think that's trash.
I don't think it should have been in consideration. I mean, it wasn't like he went out of his way,
I think it should,
him or anything.
No, God, no.
He was just trying to do the best for his team and the ref was in the wrong spot. And
example, Tony Carroll, he didn't get suspended for literally knocking out Tony Dellas-Harris with his knee because it was an accident.
Yeah, I mean, in the heat of the moment, you're doing everything you can to win. And if the ref's in your way, like, you're going to move him out of the way.
Absolutely.
You see heaps of reps get, not in the way that Jerome Hughes, I guess, moved the ref out of the way, but heaps of times the ref topples over because they get in the way.
Yeah.
And they don't get suspended, so what's the difference?
So we're going through a few technical difficulties at the moment, but while we're waiting for Dylan to rejoin, Trent, do you want to go through some stats about you know, Sonia Taruva and Brian To'o, that may help some omens for the Panthers this week.
Yeah, look, I think I mentioned earlier our attacks, both attacks have been pretty clunky, relying on a bit of individual brilliance. But Sonny Taruva, he scored 6 tries in the last 3 games at home.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty big stat. And I guess with, well, they did switch it up last week. So who knows what wing To'o and Taruva are going to be on. To'o was on the left.
And how many tries has To'o scored?
Well, To'o scored 16 tries in his past 14 NRL games. Wow. So, yeah, look, the wingers, your wingers have been great. Don't get me
wrong. So apologies to anyone who's just listened to old me and Trent from Energy Pro. So while we're waiting, and so Dylan doesn't miss out on too much more topics, we'll talk more about Energy Pro. So first of all, Trent, how did you get involved with Energy Pro?
Oh, look, Energy Pro, I've sort of been there right from the get-go.
Yep.
I think I briefly touched on it earlier, but, you know, we really wanted to create something that wasn't a gimmick product on the market.
Yeah.
You know, it's super important for us that, you know, whatever we're involved in, you know, being a small business, that we, you know, are passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
Having a sporting background, you know, along with my business partner and other people involved in our brand, it was very, very important to make sure that we developed a product that was tailored at not only everyone, but could be utilized by athletes to improve their performance. So all our products are HASTA batch tested approved, which makes, I guess, it safe for those players to drink without getting in trouble, for a better word. And yeah, look, the product's going from strength to strength. It's getting a lot more exposure now. A lot more people are, I guess, trialing the product. We're constantly improving the product to make it taste better. We're getting feedback from everyone. Having our own facility definitely helps create, you know, improvements based on feedback from others. And, yeah, we're just really excited about what this year holds for us.
Trivia. We'll get into that before we get into our last like 4 or 5 topics. Trent has said he'll give it a go because obviously it's Broncos related trivia.
Hey, look, I am originally from Brisbane, so don't hold it against me.
He is originally from Brisbane.
It's sort of Penrith mixed with Broncos.
Okay, that's good then. That's good. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go to the trivia. So,
all right, so
hold up. I'll explain the rules. So it's 5 questions or is it 10 this week, Dylan?
5.
So it's 5 questions. But there will be a who am I, and the who am I usually is a he starts off with a very hard option, hard, medium, easy, very easy, and depending on how, like, if you answer it in the very hard one, you get 5 points, but if you get it in like the very easy, you get like 1 point sort of thing for it.
That's right.
Ling.
All right.
Right, yeah, let's go.
So question 1, who was the Broncos fullback last time he won the NRL Grand Final for 2 points?
Justin Hodges. What about you, Trent?
I'm going to say Darren Lockyer.
Okay, it was Justin Hodges.
Lockyer was 5'8" in that game. So that was 06 against the Storm.
All right, so that was a pretty easy one for you, CJ.
But also in saying that, Carmichael Hunt played fullback for a majority of that season. So that's why people were like, oh, it was a genius moment that Bennett put Hodges to fullback and Hunt to wing. Or was it center? It was probably center.
I'm pretty sure it was wing.
It was wing, yeah. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. Okay, so question 2, who am I? So
here we go.
We'll start very hard, and it's for 5 points. I am Penrith Panther, number 448.
Oh, so it's a Panthers player. Is it a former Bronco as well?
I can't say.
I'm gonna say Peter Wallace. And what's your guess, Trent?
Trent?
Number 448. I'm gonna go Petro Sivanisiva.
Oh, good. That's a good shout. Who is it? It's one of those two, surely.
Peter Wallace.
Ah, let's go. Fun fact, he played more games for the Broncos than he did Penrith. Only about like by 10 more, but yeah, that was a pure guess.
Oh, okay. You got it. So you're already on 7 points.
Ah,
yeah, good.
Shout out to Peter Wallace.
That was the Who Am I? Question three. What years did Petro Sivanisiba play with the Panthers? And this is for 2 points.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to go 08 to 2011. That's my guess.
08 to 2011. I think it was a bit earlier than that.
I thought so too. I was thinking
you
he was...
With
yeah.
02 to 08.
I know it's not that early. I know that for a fact. So do you want to change your answer? I'll give you a chance.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
CJ, you're 3 from 3.
Ah!
Exact dates.
Exact years? Yep. Let's go. 08 to 2011. I was like, shit. Hang on. I know he was there for a few seasons, but I know it was after 06. But I know it wasn't 07 because that was Bennett's last season before he went to the Dragons. So, yeah,
it's
okay.
CJ,
3 from 3. Jesus.
Okay, this next one is for...
It's a lack of Trent. Can we get Trent in every week? Because the last few weeks I've done dog shit in trivia.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so, yeah. CJ, you got that. Question four for 4 points. Out of all 32 players named to play tomorrow night, which player has made the most NRL appearances?
Martin Taupau is my guess. Fucking cat. Sorry, that was my cat just...
Yeah, you know what? It probably is Martin Taupau. He's probably the oldest.
Bit of a journeyman. But then the oldest doesn't mean he's played the most, though, either.
No.
I'll be back in a second. You answer
Matt Eisenhuth has probably played a few games as well, but I don't think any more than Martin Taupau. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Martin Taupau as well.
Yeah, Martin Taupau's correct. So it's currently 13 to 4 points.
How many games has he played?
He has played...
Who was it, Martin Taupau?
Yeah, Martin Taupau.
Okay, so I'm 4 from 4.
So Marty Taupau has played 244, and behind him is Ayo at 222.
Oh, so that's pretty close. Who did Trent guess?
He got Marty Taupau.
Fuck yeah! So four from four, 1 from 4. Okay, and cool. Last question.
Speaking of appearances, Corey Jensen plays his 100th game tomorrow night.
He does. Congratulations and shout out to Corey.
Yep. So question five. The score is currently CJ 13 to 4.
Jeez. Hopefully that's the score there tomorrow night.
Okay. So which of question five, the last one, this is for 5 points.
Oh, it's a tough
Which
one.
Of the following players was the first to play 250 plus games? Was it 1, Alan Langer, 2, Andrew G, 3, Michael Hancock, or 4, Wally Lewis?
Now, is this the first ever to play 250 first grade games?
Out of them, 4.
Oh, okay. And it was, who'd you say? Alan Langer, Wally Lewis,
Alan Langer,
Hancock.
And Andrew G.
Ooh.
You say Andrew G.
Oh, yeah. You see, I definitely, because he's put in 2 superstars, I'm going to be like, it's not them. It's not Langer and it's not Wally. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Michael Hancock.
Who did Trent go?
Andrew G.
Andrew G.
Okay, CJ, you're 5 from 5.
No way.
Unbelievable.
Okay, it's official. Trent's me good luck. I've never, ever got 5 from 5 in trivia with Dylan for the Broncos.
I think
Let's go.
Dylan's dropped a couple of these before the podcast.
Nah.
I think he might have had a sneaky look at my answers.
Nah, I wish. Okay, so what is my final tally then? Is that 18 to 4?
Very impressive.
15s. 18 to 4.
Okay, so lock it in. That's going to be the score line. The Broncos beat Panthers tomorrow night, 18-4.
Exact years of Petro.
Oh, I hope so. That'd be good.
See, I knew he left in 2011 because he came back to the Broncos. I just didn't know the year he went. That was a pure guess.
For whatever reason, I thought he played in the 03 grand final, but maybe featuring another player. So
Fair enough. That was fun. Because I won, obviously, but 5 from 5, that's a ripper. Rightio, guys. Broncos have released their Diamond Heritage jersey, which they brought one out a while ago, a few years ago, with ISC. But this year, ASICs have done it much more justice than that one. It looks superb. The collar and everything, it's going to be worn next round against the Cowboys. As a jersey lover myself, not just Broncos, but I love jerseys, old, new, etc. It's incredible. What are your thoughts on the jersey, Trent?
I think it looks great. I personally, remember that jersey, growing up. I can't remember what year did they wear it?
94 and 95 somewhat as well.
Yeah, 94, 95, yeah. So, I mean, I was at the Super League Grand Final in 1997.
So was I. I was two, almost two.
That's Cronulla. It was a super memorable jersey. I still see it floating around.
Yeah.
I think it's even in pajamas for some people.
It does a bit, yeah. And Dylan, what are your thoughts on bringing back the diamonds?
Yeah, I think it's great. I remember we brought it back about 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and
that's
it looked
I was
great
on
the
about.
Players.
It looked great, but it looks even better this year. And I think it's specifically because it's 30 years since 94, since that
Has it
first
got a
year
collar
that I had
as well?
It does, yeah. It's got a collar.
What do you guys think of the collar? Generally?
I love it. I genuinely love that they've brought it back. First of all, for their heritage look, and also their alternate other one, the away strip also has a collar. I think it's great.
Yep.
What
yeah,
about
no,
yourself?
I like the look of it, but for the players themselves, I wonder how that, do people pull on the collar? Like, is it uncomfortable?
Well, players have gotten so used to not pulling on the collar, so they may just not even think about it, unless you're Jerome Luai,
We won't go there.
I mean, the Broncos may be wearing their away kit tonight. Sorry, not tonight, tomorrow night. So may get to see that happen. Anyway, Dil, what are your thoughts on the collars?
Yeah, it's great. We bring back the 94 days.
Absolutely. Rightio, we've got a few final topics. Obviously, this is our favourite jersey since. So obviously, we'll go with the Broncos for Dylan and I, and the Panthers for Trent. Trent, what's your favourite Panthers jersey since the Panthers' inception?
Well, I'm actually wearing it right now.
Yep.
A few reasons. The 1991 jersey, of course, retro.
Yep.
Obviously has the collar as well. It was the year I was born.
Yep.
And also our first premiership year. So
very nice.
Yeah, many, many reasons. And I'll be wearing it with pride tomorrow night.
That's fair enough. My personal favorite, very similar reasoning, not the year I was born. 92, the one with the power jersey. It could be mistaken for an away jersey these days, the way it looked, but I love it. The power jersey, the TDK on the sleeve. And again, 92, first year the Broncos won the comp. It's, it's incredible. I love it. That's my favorite Broncos one. And Dylan, what's your favorite Broncos jersey?
It's a pretty tough one to think about. I think maybe 2017, the home jersey.
Okay,
if
yeah,
you
that
can
was
remember
all
that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason I really love that one. It's just got a mixture of like modern to 90s and late 80s. So I think maybe that one, and kind of go past the 06 away jersey just because we won our grand final in it.
Obviously, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Roosters. Roosters. Yeah, I was at that game as well.
It was Broncos Storm.
Oh, Storm.
Roosters
oh, yeah.
was 2000.
Against Melbourne.
Roosters was against the was against the Roosters, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good grand final against the Roosters. In 2000, though, the Broncos home jersey was also ripper. They had the white hoops. That was a good one as well.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
I actually really like that's an honorable mention in my own, I reckon. An honorable mention to the 03 jersey for the Panthers, because that just looked so nice. It really did. And that's not me trying to blow smoke up the Panthers' ass, but it looked so clean that year.
The aqua one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
So fucking good. Okay. Oh, this is a random topic that's not on the list, but it's similar to the jerseys. What's your least favorite jersey of your team? I'll ask Trent first because Panthers.
Probably, I can't remember what year it was. I think it was 2017 or no, 17, the 50 year.
Yeah. The one where they tried to do the chocolate soldiers thing again.
Yeah, it had a bit of gold. Yeah, it's just,
not having it.
Well, it just brings me back Matt Moylan vibes, and it just doesn't sit well with me.
Fair enough. For me, it's any of our blue jerseys that we've ever had. All of them. I think we've had three or four of them now. Never won in them. And just fucking awful every single time. Not just the history of losing in them, but just they look awful. They don't look Broncos. They're not Broncos colours. Fuck them off out of the system. Hate all of the blue jerseys the Broncos have ever worn. It's a Queensland team and they're fucking putting blue on the jersey. No. What do you reckon, Dylan? What's your least favourite Broncos jersey?
Oh, look, CJ, I'm going to agree there with you. Blue ones are terrible.
They really are.
You guys have a pink one, like the Pink Panthers one at one point.
We did at one point, didn't we?
That was a women in league, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
One an honorable mention, the all yellow one that we had a few years back. That was tragic. That was fucking awful as well. It was just an eyesore. That's just my opinion. Honorable mention. Well, you could say dishonorable mention, actually.
At least it was the colors of your logo.
Yeah, true. Rightio, before we get stuck into the last few topics, shout out to all of our 41,000 followers on Facebook. And also a big, big shout out across the up north ditch, Papua New Guinea. We've got a massive following on Bronx Nation from everyone up in Papua New Guinea. Thank you for all of your support and click and follow and interacting with our posts and videos. It really does mean a lot. It doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you very much to all of you that follow us, not just in PNG, but worldwide, Australia-wide. Thank you very much. Shout out to Young Quaid for getting selected to the Broncos development squad. That was Reese, who's no longer in this episode this week. For due to personal reasons, he wasn't able to make it. That was his shout out. Was shout out to Quaid for getting contract into the development squad. 2020 season, Dylan. We win the first two games, look like a force to reckon with. Then COVID comes along, obviously, after 8 to 10 weeks. We literally get our first spoon. Record defeat, which, I mean, was only beaten by 1 point because we lost to the Eels in the finals the year before, to the Roosters, 59-0. It was disgusting, in my opinion. Where did it all go wrong? What are your thoughts, Dil? I think it all went wrong when we signed Seabold.
It's hard to say. We're only looking in from the outside. Mm-hmm. I think there was more happening inside that we didn't really see. So, I'm just going to say something along the lines of that. And, I was the first one to blame the set restarts coming in. That's how we're going so bad. But looking back now, definitely wasn't. I just think that it was just a culture issue at the club. I mean, we've done a clean out. Kevy come along, done the clean out, and we are where we are right now.
And we also did a staff clean out as well, like the higher ups, they left, etc. The fish rots from the head down, as they say. I think it was literally absolute shambles. And in my opinion, the shambles started when Seabold came in. Not him as a person, but how it all came about. Because obviously, as we know, there was like a clause that was broken in that agreement because, he was going to come the following year, but Bennett was texting players at Souths, and that was like, right, let's activate it now, get him over to Souths and Seabold over, and it just happened too early, and that sort of thing caused a lot of unrest, and then even more so. I think that was the start of the avalanche of shit that ended up happening. But obviously, we're now three, four seasons now from the better. Who would have thought 2020 Spooners to grand final appearance within 2 to 3 seasons after that? That's, if you'd have told me that at the end of 2020, I would have laughed in your face. So
yeah, confidence is a big thing too as well. At that time, there was a really young roster. Obviously Bennett left, salary cap issues to a degree with your paying eye juniors and Darius Boyd's taking up a lot
of the money.
When you're young, talent only gets you so far, and then you face a little bit of adversity and you kind of either sink or swim. And there wasn't really anyone that stood up and,
it was like, I'll go. Yeah.
I think, Dylan, nailed it when he said, there was a massive culture shift. Kevy come along. You've got a player like Adam Reynolds to steer the ship, keep everyone cool, calm and collected. And
then Kurt Capewell signing after winning a grand final with Penrith definitely helped as well.
Yeah. So, they're heading in the right direction, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Definitely the Broncos premiership window is open. It's not necessarily, open and shut like Parramatta's was 2 years ago because it's gone. Unfortunately, Parramatta will not win a grand final in the next few years. And I've gone out on the record multiple times, not just on this podcast, but to mates and stuff. As long as Clint Gutherson is captain and at the Eels, they don't win a grand final. And I'm willing to put, if I had a mortgage, I'd be willing to put a mortgage on that. He's just not the leader that they need or have. He's not. The amount of times he's constantly arguing on field with Mitch Moses is disgusting.
He's a hard worker. I mean, we've just played the Eels in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. The first 2 weeks, Pappy obviously was coming off an injury, first game back, or official game back, apart from the trials, was probably a bit clunky. But I think that's where, tomorrow night, Reece Walsh is going to be a massive difference.
Yeah.
Not a Clint Gutherson. You know what you're going to get with Clint. You're going to get a hard worker. He's going to run 150 meters, probably get a try assist here and there, but he's not going to do anything special or unpredictable. Whereas Walsh, he's off the cuff.
It's not like you're going up against, yeah, Walsh or Turbo or even Teddy to that extent, or Kalen Ponga, etc.
I mean, even Dylan Edwards to a
Yeah.
degree, pretty safe, but he's mixed his game up a
He's
bit
still got
too.
a big, yeah.
Way more tries. He's getting plenty of try assists. He's running for like 250 meters plus a game these days.
Exactly. Like, there's a
Apart from
reason
all
why,
the stuff that did the hurdle
yeah.
on the weekend with his beautiful bald head and headband. He's been unbelievable.
There's a reason why, all of the players, like when you're talking about the elite six, for lack of a better term, when it comes to fullbacks, Gutherson isn't in that. You've got not from first to six, but in the six would be Reece Walsh, Kalen Ponga, Clint Guthers, not Clint. Fuck, why am I saying it? Because I'm thinking of him. So yeah, think of it and you say it. Yeah, you've got Turbo, you've got Teddy, you've got Drinkwater, you've got Kalen Ponga, you've got Reece Walsh, and you've got Dylan Edwards. At no
Latrell.
point. And Latrell. See, even seven and none of and Clint Gutherson is not part of that, Even RTS, because he filled back in fullback last weekend because the player got injured for 15 minutes. He worked wonders. You still wouldn't put him, you wouldn't even put him in your top 10 fullbacks. Like,
Safe, but nothing to.
safe hands, absolutely. Good for 150 meters, but not the captain that Eels need to go to a premiership to win it. I've seen too many.
Moses is playing injured as well.
Yeah, and I notice a lot. I try my best to notice everything that I can, and there's a lot of grumblings and goings on between those two players on field that people may not pick up because the camera's only panned for like 10 seconds or like 3 seconds, and then the camera goes off. And but those 3 seconds tell a lot as well.
Yeah, big time.
Anyway, rightio. So we've done the shout outs, we've done the Jerome Hughes BS, done the jerseys. Broncos have reached 50,000 members. For the year, which is incredible. Hopefully, it continues to grow throughout the year. So, shout out to all of the Brisbane Broncos members. I'm a member, but I'm a non-ticketed member because obviously, I don't live up in Brisbane. It'd be kind of pointless if I had a ticketed membership to go to all of the home games. And I'm sorry, but the below the border membership to go to a few games in Sydney is ridiculously overpriced. That's where I think the Broncos can do better. It's $135. And the access to three games for Broncos in Sydney. That's ludicrous.
Really?
Yeah, ludicrous. That's almost as much as a 12-game home game membership. It's disgusting.
They don't have like a flexi membership where you
That's
can
what
go.
it is. That's their
Yeah,
flexi
right.
membership, and that's the prices. It's called the below the border. It's disgusting. Yeah. Anyway, shout out to all the members. And speaking of memberships, random side tangent, Tasmania, the AFL side, have got over 100,000 foundation members in their first literal 24 hours.
Wow.
And by the way, it's only a $10 membership, but that's over $1 million they've raised in one day. That'll go great to funding as well. And what you get for that is you get a sticker pack, obviously saying foundation member, but you also get your name etched into the building once their facilities are built for the however long until that building is demolished in 100 years' time, sort of thing. So I may even chuck a cheeky $10 in just to have my name in a building, sort of thing, which that is great. $1 million in 24 hours, that's great funding, great marketing in my opinion as well. Now, final two topics: top three game-winning tries of all time. It can be Broncos, it can be Panthers, it can be whatever. Obviously, this is because of the incredible Xavier Coates try. Over the weekend. Anyone who's listening to this episode or pause it right now, head over to YouTube on our YouTube page that's coming up this week, or to our Facebook page. We'll have the footage of the Xavier Coates try just here. It's incredible. It was not just like on the line jumping over it. It was 5, 6 meters out diving. Oh, it was incredible. So my top three are Xavier Coates, and Xavier Coates. It's just that's how good it is. It was in the last 15 seconds of the game to win the game, and he does. And former Bronco, what else could you expect from a Queenslander? Like Queenslanders, they just get it. They get Origin, they get footy, they know what it takes. And when in doubt, even if Queensland lose the State of Origin game, they are the last team to score a try in that game anyway. And you know what? Xavier Coates stepped up. So Xavier Coates, Xavier Coates, Xavier Coates. Trent, have you got a top three in your opinion?
Yeah. Look, as a proud Queenslander myself, that try is definitely in the top three. If not, for me, it has to be number two. I'll go to number three and leave number one to
I
last.
know what number one is for sure. I
But
know what
I
number one
think
is for sure.
game winning tries. Warbrick's try last year against the
That
Roosters.
was a great try. Yeah. And Storm
Pure
again.
timing and how he scored it, and I guess against the grain, similar to the Coats, you thought, Roosters played pretty well last year and probably deserved to win that game
Yeah.
and didn't. And surprise, surprise, Melbourne again. Warriors were unreal, probably lucky to lose both their first two games. Sorry. And then, yeah, number one, obviously can't go past last year's grand final and Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, match sealer.
Yeah, being at that game was, I still can't believe we won, being honest. But yeah, that was just in that moment, what he did, and scoring at the end that I was sitting at as well was just crazy. Obviously, for Broncos fans, heartbreaking. But you've got to admire, what he did in that moment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like, as my mate that's a Panthers fan said, I'd rather be four down with momentum. And that's what they were. They were 4 points
Yeah.
down with momentum, Dylan, what's your top three? I'm gonna hazard a guess that one of them is gonna be obviously Xavier Coates. And I'm gonna say the other one is Ben Hunt in the Origin, is one of them. But I'll let you say your list, but I'm guessing that's gonna be one of them.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I didn't have Ben Hunt originally in there, but I'll just stick with my original three. So I'll start with number three, and it would have been the New Zealand 2010 four try. I think it was Four Nations final at Suncorp when Benji Marshall went down the short side and they got an overlap, threw it back in. Marshall picked it up, passed it to Fee, and he scored under the post, and they won the final, beat Australia at Suncorp. That's number three. Number two would be Xavier Coates, just on the weekend. And number one would have to be Darren Lockyer to Dannon Kemp.
Yeah, that was actually a
Like,
good shout.
the thing about that is he didn't have to do that. He could just take the tackle, go to Golden Point, work it up, kick the field goal. But no, Darren Lockyer decides, I don't want to go to Golden Point, and I'll kick it to you, Kempy, and yeah, you do
And it
the
was
rest.
on a dime as well.
It
It
was.
was,
Yeah.
oh,
It was only Kempy's, like, what, 20th game or something as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. That
So
was,
I remember watching
what?
that
I
with my
agree with that
dad.
one.
I remember watching that with my dad when I was about 14 years old, and he's a Parramatta supporter, and he was just starstruck, stunned.
Was that the game that Kempy scored four against Para?
It was. I'm pretty sure it was.
Because that was the early days of Fantasy League, and one of my mates got like 140 points from Denenkamp because Denenkamp was in his side. Yeah, wow. What a game that was, honestly. And what's crazy is Denenkamp scored, when you hear that stat that a player scored four tries, you'd assume that that's a blowout win. But no, it went down to almost golden point with a player that scored four tries in a game. So shout out to that. And our final topic, guys, obviously, thank you to everyone and anyone who's listened in for this entire time. Very much appreciated. Obviously, our tips for round three. I've just actually submitted me tips. So we'll go, obviously, we've mentioned the Broncos Panthers game earlier in the episode, so we won't do that game. Next game up is Raiders Warriors in Christchurch, the only game in Christchurch for this year in the NRL, not the trial. Obviously, that doesn't matter, as in it doesn't count because that was in Christchurch. But official NRL game, the only game in Christchurch is the Waz against the first place Raiders. My tip is I've tipped the Raiders. Obviously, I'd be stupid not to. I'm going to tip them by 12 plus. What do you reckon, Dylan? Who are you tipping?
That's a tough one. I'm gonna go Warriors.
Yeah, that's fair. What about yourself, Trent?
I'm actually gonna go Warriors by a bit. I reckon Warriors by at least 20.
Ooh, that, you know what? That'll be good to see if they do get that. That would be very good to see. Next game, Roosters Rabbitohs, obviously age-old rivalry. I've got the Roosters, just because Lachlan Ilias is replacing, and back of Littrell's, bit of a spray last week. I'm gonna go Roosters. I'm gonna put him by 8 points. What do you reckon, Trent? We'll go with you for this one first.
This one's a bit of a tough one. I think we've fallen asleep on Keary being out as well. He's I thought would get replaced by Joey Manu, and they'd bring Billy Smith back in, but maybe he's still injured. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Rabbits. I'm gonna go with the Rabbits to bounce back. I think Stephen Smith and Walker's gonna get ambushed.
Interesting. Dylan, who are you tipping for this one?
Now, I haven't seen the side, but can you tell me, has Cameron Murray been named at lock?
I'll let you know. Give me one
Yeah,
second while I get the draw up.
because that will decide my tip.
Roosters, Rabbits, and lock for the Rabbitohs is Cameron Murray.
Yeah, I'm going to go South. So I think South will fire up after nil and two. So I think South will get over the line by 4 points.
Okay, fair. Then following that game, we've got at Belmore, the two teams that are really struggling, Bulldogs against the Titans. I've tipped the Bulldogs. I've tipped them every week so far. I hope they win at Belmore. Titans are not too good. Neither are the Bulldogs at the moment. I think the Dogs will get the win. They are currently sports bet favorites, if that says anything. But I mean, of course, your favorites against the Titans right now. So I'm going to tip the Bulldogs. I don't know a margin yet, though. We'll go across to Dylan for your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Kieran Foran is back. I think Titans get the job done.
And Trent.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the Dogs. No Fifita, no Jaden Campbell. Yeah, Dogs at home. I think they'll get it done.
Yeah, and not just at home at Belmore. They'll have the crowd behind them. I agree. Now, the next game features, in my opinion, a criminal choice in lineup, and I'll mention that in a second. Dragons against the Cowboys in Cogra. Pardon me. And Shane Flanagan has decided. So Jacob Little is out this week because of concussion protocol. But he's decided to put Ben Marsh as the starting hooker ahead of Connor Mollison, which I think is absolutely criminal. Connor came on the field at the end of towards the last 15 minutes in for Jacob Little, did a job. Even though they lost, he still got the job done, doing the servicing at the hooker position. He is playing in the game though at 14, but I don't think he's a 14 utility hooker. He's a great starting hooker and should have given him the opportunity over Ben Marsh, who's a recent signing. Whereas Mollison's been there for now close to 2 to 3 years, honing his craft and his trade, and deserves a starting spot at least this week. But no, my tip is the Dragons. It's at Cogra. Sure, the Cowboys are red hot form. I just think they're going to get undone in round three. What are your thoughts, Trent, on that one?
Yeah, look, I think he was a little bit hard done by too, mate. I think he was pretty good in preseason as
He
well.
was great in preseason.
So yeah, look, I can't. After last week, I just can't see the Dragons winning. I think Cowboys by at least 20.
Yeah, fair. Fair enough. What about you,
I'll
Dill?
be going to the game.
Yeah, nice.
I mean, with Trent there, I think Cowboys will win and win comfortably.
Okay.
Can't see the Dragons after last week.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, I mean, the Dolphins, shout out to them, got their first ever win by holding a team to nil. Because their best win up until last round was, as in, the lowest score they'd kept a team to was 10. So good on them for nailing a team and scoring 38 of their own. Right, yeah. We've got one, two, three final games to go. Tigers against the Sharks at the Eighth Wonder, as the Tigers fans like to call it, Leichhardt Oval. Again, two teams, chalk and cheese form. Again, I'm going the worse of the two. I'm going the Tigers, hoping they can finally pull something out of nothing. Yeah, Trent, what are your thoughts?
A part of my heart wants me to tip the Tigers, but I just can't see them winning. I think it'll be closer than everyone thinks, but yeah, the Sharks surely.
Yeah, fair. Fair enough. I get that. Dill, what are your thoughts?
I think, yeah, it's a tough one as well. I'm pretty confident in tipping the Sharks. Just the defense has been amazing. First two games, so I think Sharks win by 8.
Okay, fair. And then obviously going over to CommBank Stadium in Parramatta, we've got the Eels taking on Manly. Both teams have haphazard form, as in, I don't know how to describe it. Obviously, Manly coming off some wins, Eels coming off a very close loss against the defending premiers. Very well played game for them, for lack of a better term, given it was against the Panthers. I've tipped Manly because I just can't tip the Eels. I refuse to. And I hate Manly, so that's saying something. I've tipped Manly. I think they'll get the job done and get the job done comfortably. I'm going to go Manly 12 plus. I'll cross over to Dill for that one for the first one.
Yeah, Parramatta are always going to be tough at home. I do think that Manly will get the job done, though. So Manly by 6.
Fair. And Trent, what about you?
I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to go the Eels.
Okay.
I think at home, they want to bounce back. They've obviously played the Riff last week. Manly is sort of, look, they're in awesome form, but
yeah,
I'm going to go the Para.
Okay, fair. And rounding out the round three multicultural round is the Storm against the Knights in Newcastle. Obviously, notably, Jackson Hastings going off his lid, etc. Yeah, I can't tip against the Storm, especially after last week's effort. I've tipped the Storm, and I've put the margin as 20 points because that's the option you can do. Like, you can put the margin in tipping and ultimately I've gone 20 points. So yeah, I'll go across to Trent for the first one for that. What are your thoughts and your tips?
I'm a bit of an upset here, or is it an upset? No draw news. I'm going the Knights.
Okay. And it's at home, I guess. So maybe they'll get that home crowd up for them.
Jack Cogger gets a crack.
Yeah, true. Hometown hero. That's fair. What are your thoughts, Dill? Who have you tipped?
Yeah, I'm going the upset here as well. I'm going to go Newcastle without Storm's key halves. I think Knights will just get the job done.
Yeah, fair. But also, they're missing a few key halves themselves.
Yeah, but I think Cogger will add a bit more onto their Cogger and Gamble. I think it'll be...
They did have a ripper preseason, as in Cogger and Gamble together. So
I think they'll find out very soon that Cogger will be their starting halfback.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just my opinion.
Oh, I definitely agree. He's the future of the Knights, at least for the next few years.
Well, Jackson Hastings is going to have to find another club, I think.
Yeah, good. The way he acted and reacted to being dropped yesterday, he doesn't deserve to be at a club such as the Knights.
I'm pretty sure Cogger and Gamble have only got contracts for this year too, so they'll be out to prove a point.
Oh, absolutely, which will make them play out of their skin for the contract. Rightio. That about wraps up this week's episode of Bronx Nation Podcast. I want to first of all thank all of the followers and listeners for tuning in to the episode. I also want to thank our sponsor, main sponsor as well, Energy Pro, and by proxy, of course, Trent, for coming on the podcast. Again, guys, head over to Energy Pro, ENRGPRO.com.au. Use our code BN10 for 10% off at checkout. Yeah, thank you very much, Trent, for joining us. And we might get you back on next week because as for the Panthers round review against the mighty Broncos, and hopefully the Broncos will be lifting the trophy of not the grand final, obviously, but the trophy of winning something, you know.
he's hoping. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Nah, no worries, Dylan. And Dylan, take care. Trent, take care. And yeah, thank you guys, and thank you everyone for
listening. Thanks, guys.